It's finally Friday on Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
So I tell him I'm a pro, Jack. And who do you think they give me?
The Dalai Lama himself.
So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, it won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
And movie reviews with Andy Pate.
I think that you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Chief, mate, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Stick a fork in me, Jerry. I'm done.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush. John Rush.
All right, hour number two is upon us. I'm your host, John Rush. My son, Richard Rush, joining us. Andy Pate, of course. Charlie Grimes, your engineer. And we will now do movies from the 90s.
Yeah.
Richard, are you with us?
Yeah, you guys are finally getting into my era. So thanks, old guys. I appreciate you coming along to the... We're getting closer to the 21st century, some might say.
Richard, when were you born?
92.
92? Okay, so you were still just a little kid during this time. So next,
but I'm good. But I know all of these, so these are good. This is like what I grew up in. And by the way, okay, I have to say, we did a sin two weeks ago when we did 80s movies, and we did not mention what a movie that is in your opening, Dad, which is Caddyshack.
Oh,
did we not mention Caddyshack?
I think we forgot.
We
that
didn't
one.
Mention. Oh my, we forgot gosh. Caddyshack.
We should all be demoted.
I know we should. We shouldn't even be able
great
to.
Great movie,
it.
By the way.
That is terrible.
Up. Hilarious movie. Okay, real quick, before we get into movies, Andy's going to give us a little tidbit, Richard, of what it was like back in the day to actually run the movie projector in a movie. Now everything's digitized, and it's way different from when Andy did it back then. But back then, you actually had movies that came in on a reel, right?
Oh, yeah, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
During the 90s, Richard, I was actually managing at movie theaters, and part of what I did was also booth managing up in the booth. And these movies would come to you in two
heavy cases. Like a suitcase kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, only they're, you know, octagonal because they've got round things in them.
Okay.
And what they would have is reels in them, and so you'd have 6, 7, 8 reels depending on the size of the movie. Some movies that were very short would only be 5 reels.
Okay.
Okay, that'd be a movie that was maybe an hour and a half.
And how wide is the tape? You know, not tape, but is the...
About an inch.
Okay, about an inch wide. Okay.
Yeah, a little, but the film was about
what is it, Charlie?
It was actually about an inch.
Film is what I meant to say.
Yeah, the film was about an inch and a half, and
they're done in millimeters, right? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were in millimeters.
35 millimeters. Okay.
And you could also do, you know, larger films for various things, but you almost never use those.
Okay.
And so they would do that, and what we would do is we would usually get them in on Thursday morning. And we'd take them upstairs, and we'd build them, and you'd have to run them onto these huge platters that are like
And what's a platter?
Okay, a platter is about, golly, what is it, about 5 feet across.
So is that a table or a...
Yeah. It's a spinning platter.
Okay.
It's metal.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a circle.
Okay.
And you have three of them that are, attached to a machine. Okay? And so you have three platters.
Okay.
Okay, and you've got the... projector, and what is going to be done is you put all these I'm trying to make this easy for
no that's fine
to,
go ahead you're doing fine
okay you take all of these reels and you wind them onto this platter one by one, and you splice them together where you're supposed to at the beginning of one reel and the end of another one.
Okay
so reel one goes on first, then two, then three, four, five, six, seven, and so forth. And you get them to where they're all on the platter, and of course you've got to put the previews on at the beginning before you even do that.
Okay.
And at the end you have to have, a little metallic thing that you put on there at the end that automatically shuts off the movie.
Okay.
Okay? And so those are called cues, those metallic parts.
Okay.
All right. And so you would have this platter, and what happens is the film then runs from one platter through a fairly complex, series of counter balances.
Okay.
because it's got to be pulling against it at just the right tension.
Okay.
And then it goes through the projector, and then it comes out and onto and feeds onto the next platter.
Okay.
And that way it can just go back, forth, back, forth. And the reason you have three platters is because you'll often have two movies that are playing in one theater. So, you know, this one plays, then that one, then this one, then that one.
Okay.
If it's movies that are not as popular, or if it's a big movie theater, a big movie like Independence Day, you have all one. Now, the real fun, John, is when you would have to do interlocks. Now, an interlock is when you would have one huge movie. I did this for Independence Day.
Okay.
And we were only given two prints of it, but I wanted to see it a lot more. And this is when I was running the booth at Cherry Creek, the Cherry Creek 8. Okay. And so there were four large theaters at Cherry Creek. And so what I did is I ran one print of Independence Day through four projectors simultaneously. And so the film would go off that platter into one projector across the top of the, by the ceiling, some rollers that go along the ceiling into another projector, out of that projector, across the ceiling into another one, into another one, and then feed back into the original.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so I had one print going through four theaters, and we made a lot of money, John.
Amazing.
Yeah, we made an awful lot of money. So anyway, the reason that you had to do this is you had to build it the night before, and then you always had to watch.
Sure.
The
Make sure it was all okay.
Yeah, because you had to look for, there were oftentimes going to be little glitches or errors in a movie. You had to then note it and go back and cut those out and go through it. The worst one I ever did was Braveheart, the unedited version.
Oh, there you go, Richard. You'd like that.
Yeah. Richard, the unedited the unedited version of Braveheart, you know, before they take out, edit out all the extra stuff, was 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Jeez.
I'm not kidding. It was 11, I believe, 11 reels, and it took up the entire platter right out to the edge.
Wow.
And I had to watch that all through the night.
Wow.
To make sure there were
issues
with it. And the reason you do that version is then the reviewers would want to come in and get an early look at what this movie was like.
Thank you, Andy.
Sorry
great
to give you
no, no, great explanation. I've always been fascinated by that. So, and we'll combine some breaks, Charlie, so we'll make everything work. We're going to get rolling here. Let's just get started on 90s movies. Andy, you are first.
Okay, we've done so many clips from this movie, I just had to find one that we hadn't done.
Okay.
Tombstone.
Okay, great.
Here we go.
Law Dog, you don't step aside, we'll tear you apart.
You die first, get it? Your friends might get me in a rush, but not before I make your head into a canoe. You understand me?
He's bluffing. Let's rush him.
No. He ain't bluffing.
He ain't bluffing.
He ain't bluffing.
As stupid as you look, Ike.
Not as stupid as you look, Ike.
I love that part.
I'm going to make your head into a canoe.
That's one of the best parts of the movie, too. It's great. It's a great movie.
Tombstone. I'm not going to say Tombstone was the best movie of the decade. It wasn't. It was one of the best. But it's one of those... Guys, how many movies are there like Tombstone that you can just watch over and over and over and enjoy different parts?
There's not many like Tombstone itself, I'll be honest with you.
There's not.
Yeah. The first time you watch it, it seems a little long, but it's so good. You're engrossed the entire time. But that's one you can keep coming back to it. And by the way, that's a movie where... You like every part, you can come in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's
matter.
On
oh, yeah.
in the middle of a Saturday
I'll
afternoon.
I'll finish it. I don't care.
Grab a pizza.
Yep, that's right. I'll watch it.
Okay, Tombstone.
All right, you're up, Richard.
All right, so I'm going to go. Actually, well, you mentioned it, Andy. There are, but okay, I'm going to put a caveat. There are so many good 90s ones, and you got to start looking back at these lists. 90s may be one of the best decades of movies, let's just be honest here. And because it goes back to one of the ones you mentioned, Andy, which is going to be one of my favorite movies, the long one you were talking about, which is Braveheart. I know we mention it all the time, but we can't be 90s movies without mentioning how great Braveheart was. Again, a movie where you can jump in any time, even though it's so long, and watch it.
True. True. There were so many aspects of it. I mean, everybody thinks about the battle scenes, but what about all the strategy, Richard?
Oh, it was everything. It was the strategy, the screenplay, Andy. You know, the different, when they're on the sprawling fields, just it kind of next level, especially for, I think it was 94 or 95 is when that movie came out.
I have to look.
Richard, you just remind me of somebody who would be charging the field. Painted in blue.
In my kilt.
Yes, in your kilt. You would do it, Richard.
Richard was right, 95.
And John, you remind me of like a king who would send the other people like Richard to go fight
to
on
go
the field.
Do the job. Yeah. All right. Am I up?
Yeah, you're up.
One of my favorites of all time, and mainly because I like mob movies.
I know.
Yeah.
Casino.
Casino. I love mob movies. It's really, and again, it's not a exact true story of how Vegas started, but it's probably not far off of how Vegas actually started. And let's face it, the mob did start Vegas. Now it turned into other things after that and is not that today. But at one point in time, it was basically the mobster's dream.
Casino was wonderful. By the way, that's another movie that was not fun to build.
I'm sure. Long.
Oh, gosh.
Long. And by the way, no, you don't let your kids watch Casino.
No.
Lots of stuff going on in Casino you don't need your kids to see.
Yes, not a good idea.
But it is
not
a good mob
all.
Movie.
Okay.
All right, you're up.
You don't want to go to break yet?
No, we'll go do another round. We're good.
Okay, I've only got a couple clips this week, and this one is one that started a phenomenon in the films called Pixar. Mm. And that is the movie Toy Story, which simply took over kid films for the next couple decades. What an incredible thing. I mean, up until then, Richard, it was Disney, and only Disney, and anything but Disney wasn't going anywhere. And
well, yes, and this is what convinced Disney that, oh, well, we have to buy Pixar because otherwise...
Right.
These people are going to give us a run for our money.
Exactly. It was incredible. So here's a little clip from Toy Story.
Toy! You weren't the real Buzz Lightyear. You're an action figure. You are a child's plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
It's good.
I'm telling you what, those two were brilliant together.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's not just all the incredible cartoonistry is what blew people away, but what I don't think people understood was the incredible collection of actors' voices that they assembled for this movie.
Agree.
They spared no expense.
Agree.
Right, Richard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, I was just looking this up. That was actually the first film produced by Pixar, and you know who its executive producer was?
Who? Jobs?
Yep.
Really?
Was it really?
It was Steve Jobs. He was, as the executive producer, brought financial success and critical acclaim to the studio when it was released.
Wow.
Hey, hat tip to him. Well done, sir.
And then, by the way, then he flopped over to Walt Disney's board and said, oh, we should buy Pixar, and the rest is history. So. But yes, Andy, it was one of the
amazing.
First. And by the way, you go back and look at the original Toy Story, it was next level. How good it was, how different it was than other animated film.
I agree.
I'm actually going to mention here shortly. So I'm going to just roll right into mine, Andy.
Yeah.
And that's going to be one of Disney's films, one of the best animated films out there, and that is The Lion King, of course, the original.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so, but you compare The Lion King versus Toy Story and Pixar in drastically different, right? There's
a
reason that why Disney bought them, right?
Yeah. Yes, no, good point.
Level, so.
Good point, yeah, because here's the thing. You guys talking, by the way, remind me of this. I would not have guessed, based upon the production quality, that those two were in the same era. Because Toy Story's quality is so much better. Huh?
They were a year apart. They were a year apart as all. Lion King was 94. Toy Story was 95.
I would not have guessed that. Based upon that.
No one would have.
You didn't think Lion King was impressive cartoonistry?
It was, but it wasn't, to Richard's point, it wasn't as good as Toy Story.
Well, Toy Story, it blazed new trails.
Right.
All together.
Right. Totally different.
They're in two different stratospheres, Andy. Again, you think Toy Story should have been created in the 2000s.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how good it was.
Right. I agree.
Well, in fact, when I looked and saw Toy Story in the 90s, I was like, really? You're kidding me, right? Because I didn't think it was that old.
You see, another big thing with these, Richard, I think you'll agree on this. These movies, we see the culmination of what started in the 80s, which is quicker movies.
True.
You're either going to go one way or the other. You're going to go the long Casino-style, Braveheart-style movie, right? The three-hour or the hour and a half to an hour and 40-minute movie, which are compact, quick for the kids, get them in, get them out, keep them happy, and incredibly well-edited and fast, just from scene to scene to scene to scene to scene. And that's what Toy Story was.
Yeah, agree. All right, I will go, and then we'll take a break after this. And my, let's see, mine will be, oh, gosh, what do I do here? There's so many. Okay, I'm going to do Babe the Pig, you know, the, you know, the.
That's one of mine.
You know, Babe. Which, when you start watching it, you're like, how could you actually enjoy this movie? But as you get into it, you're just, it just captures you.
Babe was a counterculture movie. And here's what I mean. All of the kids' movies were coming out, were beginning to become these fast-paced, you know, just fly ahead mm-hmm. kind of movies. Action, 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 adventure, adventure.
Yep.
And Babe slowed everything down and connected with kids.
Mm. And adults.
Oh, yeah.
I still like the movie.
It was a shocker.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Babe.
I remember reviewers, because I built that movie and people were watching mm-hmm. it. I remember reviewers saying, I can't understand the magic here. People will not stop going to this.
The farmer's awesome.
Yeah.
He doesn't even really say much. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, okay. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, guys. American National Insurance is next. Again, we're doing movies from the 90s. If you want to add to anything, call us 303-477-5600. Text line 307-200-8222 for a free insurance quote. Call my agent, Richard's agent as well. That's Paul Leuenberger, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Folks, if you want somebody on your side when you go through a mortgage, whether it be a refi, buying a new house, just even trying to figure out how to do all of that, especially for somebody like myself that's self-employed, my guy's Kurt Rogers. I've been with him now for 5-6 years, I guess, maybe even longer than that, and there isn't anything I do without calling him first. He's just that guy. Richard will agree with me as well. Kurt is your guy. If you need anything when it comes to a mortgage, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500.
Home values are rising 8, 10, and 13% in some areas. Trying to buy it but keep missing? Take AIM to show you how to make sure you're at the top of the list. Don't think you have the money to cover appraisal gaps? Let us show you options. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Locally owned and operated since 2001. We know how to help. Rates will continue to stay low. Values will continue to increase. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many have refinanced out of their 30-year mortgage and now have rates in the twos. Lower payment, shorter term, and they're saving thousands. Are you paying more than 3% on your debt? Convert those to a low rate and keep more of your money. 720-895-0500. Self-employed and been told you don't qualify? Nonsense. There are many options. Talk to us and see why we've been helping those self-employed for years. Our customer service is unmatched in Colorado. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Where it's all about you. NMLS 298191.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, we're doing 90s movies. Myself, Richard, and Andy Pate. Andy, you are up, sir.
Okay, hey, Richard, outside of The Dark Knight, where you have the Joker, how often do you see the villain be the best actor?
Not very. Yeah, it seems to be that's kind of the marker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to be the Batman films and how good the villains, because they're portrayed so prominent.
Exactly, exactly. It's usually the hero, right, who steals the show and is the great actor. But every now and then, the villain comes along and steals the show. And in this movie, the villain actually won Best Actor, running away, Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Jeez.
Hello, Clarice.
I know.
So creepy.
He was so creepy. Oh, but he was so good. Oh,
yes.
Anthony Hopkins, my gosh, what an actor.
Agree. Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs. One of the interesting things about the 90s, you know how every decade kind of advances mm-hmm. films and various things? We had never seen a villain like this.
No, I don't think. No, you're right. No, we hadn't.
Not to that level. Where you have an incredible actor take on the role of an incredible villain and take it to the edge. And it just blew everybody away. People were haunted by that movie.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Richard.
Well, so I'm going to go completely different direction here. And that's okay. But that's going to be comedy. One of my favorite movies. Obviously, I did not watch this when this was released due to, well, you'll know it here when I say it. But just one of my favorite movies. It's so funny. I know there's lots of these films out there because of who the actor is. But that's Billy Madison.
Yes.
Yay!
And back to school. Back to school to prove to Dada that I'm not a fool. So good. I mean, and you've got Chris Farley in there. Just also so many good films. Or good quotable lines.
Okay,
let's just be honest with each other. We're gonna revisit Adam Sandler today.
Do you think
just a few times?
Because you start looking back real quick. You start looking back at big time comedy, actors.
Yeah.
And before Adam Sandler, we had, Richard Pryor.
Sure.
You had
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie
was
Murphy,
hot
of course,
him.
Was really hot. Who else am I missing before that?
Before Sandler?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a lot of times you're looking at the SNL cast.
True.
And so you're looking at Aykroyd, you're looking at Murray.
Murray, those kind of guys.
The Ghostbusters guys.
But Adam Sandler came on the scene and probably brought things to a whole different level and was able to do it movie after movie after movie after movie and hardly had a bomb, right?
Yeah, until he did.
Right.
Until he fell off the map.
Right. But did really well until then.
Oh, my gosh, he had several in a row. And it was really weird, John, because usually you'll have an actor who has several really good ones in a row, and then they'll have one that's not so good, but then they'll come back with a good one.
Right.
He didn't.
Right.
He dropped off a map and stayed off for quite a while.
Right. All right.
All right.
So it's my turn now?
It is.
I'm up. Oh, how about, gosh, there's so many. Oh, this one, because I watched it the other night. And I didn't think it was from the 90s. I really didn't. I knew the movie was old, but I didn't think about it being that old. And I didn't watch it when it came out in the 90s. Maybe that's why I don't think it's that old, because I watched it, probably the decade after. That would be Fargo.
What?
Mr. Lindegaard. Fargo. Fargo.
Fargo. Okay.
She says Fargo. Fargo.
Fargo was creepy.
Mr. Lindegaard.
I can't watch Fargo.
You can't?
I can't? No, because I've told you this before, because I can't watch somebody's life spiral down like this.
It did too.
It
literally,
is so awful.
Every turn, it got worse.
So
it
you like Fargo and Schindler's List. You just like watching people torn apart. You like depression.
At least in Schindler's List, there's some redemption. No, in this one, there's not. It just keeps spiraling out of control. You're correct.
Richard, when you were a kid, did John just say, all right, everybody, let's sit down to Fargo and Schindler's List?
No, I told you, I didn't watch Fargo till like the 2000s.
Yeah, Andy, we didn't have time for movies, Andy. We were always moving. There's better things to do than watch movies around here.
That's right. We got stuff to do.
Your dad had you out working. You were 5 years old out plowing.
We moved about every three or four years, too.
We did. And, Andy, our Saturdays were not consisted of, in the mornings, normal kids get up, watch cartoons, sleep in a little bit, take it slow. That was not the case.
No.
We got up, and we washed cars. We had each of us had a job. It was like working a job as a child for no pay. I guess I got to live in a house, right?
But you're doing much better now with all the treatments you're getting.
We don't.
All my kids know how to work.
And
let's just say that.
My gosh.
On top of that, Andy, I now know why you have children.
I have children
to be labor.
I actually had a childhood. I just want you to know it was pretty cool. I had fun. I did
but
things.
Andy, you were a Democrat during childhood, so you really didn't have a childhood.
This is true.
Yeah, good point. Good
I
point.
Lived off of you.
Good point.
As a child.
Good point. All right, you're up.
Okay, let's get crazy here. Come on, guys. I'm not going to do any more clips because I think we need to start ripping through some movies.
Okay.
Austin Powers, baby.
Oh,
yeah, baby.
Old?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was 1997. What an incredible What an incredible character. What a performance by Mike Myers with Austin Powers and Dr. Evil. Once again, I'll say it, has to be one of the top five comedic performances of all time. And that's something where, you know, you think, oh my gosh, I've seen it so many times. Folks, throw it on again. You're going to be laughing yourself silly. It's so funny.
You're correct.
All right.
I'm gonna go with another one on the comedy side of things. And again, one that I feel like you can throw on at any time and just have laugh out loud funny. Although some people don't think it's that funny because it's the dumb humor, but that's Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah. By the way, was this decade the birth of Jim Carrey, really? Pet Detective, did that come out in this?
I don't know. I have to look.
I think Pet Detective was late 90s, 98, right? 97?
I'd have to look.
I'll look it up really quick here.
No, but anyways, to your point, good movie, Richard.
Yeah, 94, Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Oh, how do I top that one? I will top it with Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
Which, by the way, was the precursor to the one you mentioned a moment ago. Correct.
This was the era for Saturday Night Live actors, mm-hmm. or you know, yeah, comedians becoming their own actors.
They were dominant. In fact, you know, yeah. Richard, it seemed at one point like nobody else could do comedy except the SNL crowd.
I mean, it really did.
It really did. And by the way, Jim Carrey was on SNL quite a bit. He was on there quite a bit, even though In Living Color was actually his show on TV. And speaking of Jim Carrey,
okay,
you know, since Richard, I want to be like you in all ways. I'm going to do a Jim Carrey movie. Here we go. Liar, Liar, 1997. Oh, my gosh.
So good.
Was that funny? In Your Bra. Still the funniest Jim Carrey movie ever
made.
It
is. You are right.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh. And that's one that you can't see enough, can you?
No, you can watch it. It's another one of those where you can pick it up at any time and just keep watching it.
Yep. It's so fun.
It is hilarious.
Every scene, it's not just a funny movie. Every scene is funny.
Because Daddy can't lie.
Daddy can't lie. That was so good.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, Richard.
All right, so I'm going to go with one that I think both of you would agree. Well, actually, Andy, maybe not you, Dad, for sure, that you could skip watching this movie, but it is one of the more iconic movies that we have to mention it, mm-hmm. and that's Titanic.
Yeah, I can skip it. Yeah, that's a movie that, honestly, I haven't seen in... What is it now? 30 years, roughly, plus, and then don't care to see it again.
But you've got to mention it.
Yes, you do, because it was like one. It wasn't it the biggest movie of its year.
Oh yeah,
when it was
one
made
of the biggest
by far
of all time ever.
Yeah, that was the first movie that I had ever seen come along. And by the way, guys, just so you know, I believe I was working a theater in Olathe, Kansas at the time. I'm pretty sure, but I'd never seen a movie come along that people saw so many times over and over, and it was all the teenage girls.
You know what the box office was on that?
It was ridiculous.
Wasn't it like $300 million? No. No, at the time, just opening weekend, wasn't it?
Well, just take a guess. Overall box office.
No.
Oh, what? $900 million.
You're not even halfway there yet.
Oh, geez.
$2
billion? $2.1 billion.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy because... It became, keep in mind, you know, a lot of my staff was teenage girls,
mm-hmm.
right? And it became an object of pride to be able to say how many times you had seen Titanic amongst these girls. I'm not kidding. This one would say 8 times. This one would say 20 times. This one would say 15 times. And they would actually compare it with each other.
Hmm.
And they'd be doing this at school.
Hmm.
And so Titanic would still be getting people coming into it in the middle of, you know, like after school let out. Like around 4 o'clock shows, they'd still be having teenage girls come into it. My gosh, 2 months into it. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen anything like it.
It is still.
It's not that good. It can't be.
Even today, it's the third highest grossing film that many years later.
Don't get me wrong. It's a very well put together. I've never sat down through it all the way through, but I've seen, you know, all the parts. Right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay, Titanic.
All right. No, okay. Yeah, good one. Richard, yeah, give you that. You got to have it. How about, because it's in our intro, a lot of the outtakes of it are, a lot of clips of it, I should say, are the one-liners, The Big Lebowski.
Yeah. The Big Lebowski, that it would drag between the gags. But yes. Boy, the gags were just...
And John Goodman was angry in that movie. angry.
John Goodman can be so,
so
funny.
So angry.
I know.
The dude.
The dude. The dude mines.
The dude. The dude mines. Anyways, all right, you're up.
Okay, here's a movie that shot... Here's a movie that was the first movie I had ever seen absolutely dominate in August.
Okay.
Because great movies don't come along in August. Okay. Now, they're doing it more now, but it started with this movie, The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie.
This movie came out of absolute nowhere, guys. I mean, everybody knew Bruce Willis. He's a big star.
Right.
But Haley Joel Osment, who was the kid, blew everybody away. It was, up until then, the greatest performance I'd ever seen by a child actor. And
yeah,
people couldn't get enough of it. That's another movie that people just went back to.
Mm. Okay, good one. Richard, you're up.
All right, so this is actually arguably the greatest movie of all time, depending on which one you look at. If you look at independent or if you look at IMDb, I think it still is.
You dropped out. What was
Which was it?
Oh, sorry. Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrific, but it was depressing.
Well, I know it wasn't depressing. It was good. He won. You know, he escaped.
I know, but geez, gosh, what you got to go through to get there?
I mean, well, I was going to talk about that, but hey,
was this Dad's movie night? You know, along with Schindler.
No, that one was not. Again, no, I didn't watch a movie till years after. Yeah.
Yeah, we never saw that one, Andy. I didn't watch that one until a buddy was like, have you seen this movie? It's one of the greatest movies of all time. I'm like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, yeah, it's one of the greatest movies.
Most of what's on this list I watched years later, Andy.
By the way, what acting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Every now and then you just come out of something and you look and you just say the word maestro. I mean, what an incredible performance by both of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John.
Let's see. I'm going to do... Only because it's at the very end, and the whole series is great, but it started in 99, The Matrix.
Oh, you took it!
1999.
Boy,
red pill, blue pill.
Talk about blazing trails.
Yes.
I mean, that kind of, The Matrix, so many movies, I think probably that were on the drawing board, went back to the drawing board the moment that came out.
And had to redo it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they had to catch up.
I would agree. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Roof Max is next, folks. And you know, not only will Dave come out and do a free roof inspection to see if the Roof Max product can be put down, because he will rejuvenate your roof. And if you want to know more about what that is and what it means and how it works, I've done my roof, and it is incredible. It literally makes your roof new again. I don't know any other way to say it. It makes the shingles more flexible. It rejuvenates the asphalt, which, by the way, there's less and less of in shingles today. And don't forget, folks, something I need to mention more. Just like everything else, from cars to you name it, there is a lack of product right now in the marketplace where if you need a roof replaced, good luck. We get past the next month or so, and you may not be able to replace your roof. So a suggestion to you would be get Dave out, get him to inspect it, look at it, find out if he can rejuvenate your roof, what can be done there with the Roof Max product itself, and he'll do all of that for you for free. Just call him, he'll come out, he'll inspect it, and he'll do the rest. 303-710-6916.
Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it with RoofMax. The cost of asphalt roofing products has already gone up 20% and will likely go up another 20 to 25% this summer. To make matters worse, it's getting harder to find quality contractors, which means the cost of labor has gone up recently. As roof replacements become more and more expensive, roofing companies will start passing along that cost to their customers. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85% by adding years of performance to your asphalt roofing. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to 3 applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last up to 15 years longer. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. KLZradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. KLZ 560, John Rush, Richard Rush, and Andy Pate here. We are doing movies of the 90s. Guys, are you ready for some rapid fire?
Yes, dude.
We got a lot of great movies to get through, so I'm going to throw out one right now, and that is Saving Private Ryan. Talk about a movie that blazed new trails for its genre. War movies were never the same. Richard.
Yeah, again, one of the better movies overall, right? I mean, yep. It was one of the first great war movies. We talked about it. Iconic scenes you can't forget.
Yep.
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay.
You're up.
Oh, I'm up. All right, so I'm going to go. I can't believe. This is going to be very early just because this is one of his, I feel like, oncoming or inaugural, whatever you want to call it, performances. That's going to be Johnny Depp and Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yes.
Never seen the movie.
It is very offbeat, but it's brilliant.
Really?
Very good.
Never seen it.
Okay.
L.A. Confidential.
Classic.
Yeah, it is. Weird, long, slow, but classic.
Long, slow, but so well acted, and it won a lot of awards. Okay, here's one that won some awards. Fight Club with Edward Norton and Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Oh.
What's the one rule about Fight Club, Richard?
Never talk about Fight Club.
You don't talk about Fight Club. What's the second rule about Fight Club, Dad?
Never talk about Fight Club.
There you go.
That was a classic. Okay, Richard, you're up.
All right, I would be remiss to my wife if I did not mention this one, and that's going to be Clueless. With Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's on the list.
One of the better ones.
That was funny.
All right, I'm going to grab one from Joe, listener Joe, which I, again, didn't think this movie was that old, Forrest Gump.
Isn't that something?
I did not realize it was in the 90s.
We have come to the Forrest Gump era. What a performance.
Unbelievable.
Once again,
stupid
I've never
is
seen...
Stupid is stupid does.
I don't know that I've ever seen an actor create
amazing.
A character out of nowhere like
amazing.
That.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's have some fun. And Men in Black.
Ah, good one. Mm. Joe also mentioned that one.
Oh,
good
that
one.
Was that was so cutting edge and so funny. And Will Smith, by that time, had become Mr. 4th of July. You released a Will Smith movie mm-hmm. on the 4th of July. It was going to make big money. It was a guarantee. Richard.
I can't believe we haven't mentioned this one yet. And again, it's going to make you guys feel old because this was early, early 90s, and that's The Sandlot.
Yeah. I knew you had mentioned that one. It's on my list, but I knew you would do it.
Yeah. So
that's another
so
feel good.
One of childhood. Oh, great movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, this is another one on Joe's list, which I actually forgot about because I didn't realize it was in this era either. Pretty Woman.
Terrific. Mm. Funny. Just a great, great romantic comedy.
I didn't realize that, so there you go.
Okay, back to Disney. Folks, the Disney film that I thought had the best story out of all these Disney cartoons, Beauty and the Beast. The original cartoon was wonderful. Had great music, but a great story to go with it. Richard.
I'm going to go with, I believe, a Pixar one. Again, Steve Jobs here, and that's The Bug's Life.
That was fun.
Oh.
I like The Bug's Life.
That was a fun one. Again, one of the ones that we're still watching today. A lot of these movies are sort of timeless in that regard.
Right.
You can just toss them.
Yeah, it was a fun.
All right, exactly. This next to Tombstone, this is one of my most favorite movies
I
of all
it.
Time. Richard knows this. Goodfellas.
Oh, you surprised me.
Yeah, Goodfellas. One of my most favorite movies of all time.
Then can I go with the movie I thought you were going to say?
Yes.
The Quick and the Dead.
Oh, yeah, another one of my favorites. You are correct, Andy.
That was in the 90s? Wow.
I believe so, yes.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Richard, you're up.
You're up, Richard.
All right, I'm going to go with comedy again. Bill Murray, comedic genius, and that's Groundhog Day.
Oh, yes.
Yes, on my list.
That was so good.
All right, we got a listener that, and I have not checked this one. I am guessing that, because the listener says so, Armageddon, was that a 90s movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, barely.
Well done. That was fun. That was a fun ride.
Okay. You're up.
Oh, I'm up.
I'm going to
use
that one. Go ahead.
Okay, let's get back to Johnny Depp and get a little creepy weird. Sleepy Hollow. It was a good movie. A little gross, but a good movie to watch. Did you see that one, Richard?
It's been a long time, but yes.
Okay, you're up.
All right, again, one of the better films of all time by IMDb, and that's John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to steal this one as well. A listener just texted this in. I didn't realize it was this old as well. Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Had no idea it was that old. Holy cow.
Yeah, that made a little bit of money.
Just a little bit.
Hey, how about another one that made a little bit of money? Terminator 2. T2, which was the best Terminator movie. Liquid Metal.
I think it was the best one, too. Yeah,
oh,
I agree.
So good.
I agree.
Richard.
I can't believe I haven't mentioned this one yet, and again, it's going to go back to not the start, but where he became a little bit more prominent, and that Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Oh, my gosh. Was that in the 90s?
Old?
Wow. Holy cow.
It was. 96, I believe, is the first one.
John, the pressure is on. You got to follow that.
I did not know that. Okay, here is a movie that I actually use on my clips for the intro on Drive Radio because it's great. I watched it the other night. My Cousin Vinny.
Classic.
Hilarious
movie. Biological clock.
It's a hilarious movie.
Very good. Very good. Okay, how about this one? Another Disney movie, Aladdin. An incredible performance.
A soundtrack, too. What a great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
Okay,
you're up, Richard.
All right, I'm going to go with another Adam Sandler because we can't leave him out after just one movie, and that's going to be Big Daddy.
Yeah, it's on the
list. Big Daddy!
Yep.
I've got a couple to throw in real quick. Can I throw in some Adam Sandler?
Sure, go ahead.
Wedding Singer.
Oh, I was going to mention it, yes.
What a great romantic comedy, and he was just hilarious. And come on, guys, The Water Boy.
I know.
You can never overwatch.
Bobby Boucher.
You can never overwatch Bobby Boucher.
No, good point. All right, I've got one on my list. Actually, a listener mentioned this one as well. Long, get the popcorn out. Several buckets, by the way, because you're going to be there a while.
Okay.
Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. You know, it was actually just the same length as Titanic.
It seems longer. It's a slow movie.
Braveheart, they were all 3 hours.
It's a slow movie.
You know, by the way, let me mention something that people hadn't thought about. The 90s was the introduction of horror movies that had comedy in them. Comedies. And let me give you two of them. Tremors and Lake Placid, which was about, and both of them are very funny movies. Tremors had Kevin Bacon. Lake Placid had Oliver Platt and a number of other people. They were both really funny movies, but you're fighting monsters.
Okay.
Richard?
All right, I'm going to go with Robin Williams and Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting.
Oh, what acting.
So fantastic.
You know, by that point, Robin Williams was really shocking us because we all know he was this incredibly funny guy and he could do these funny roles, Good Morning Vietnam and all this, but he had become a serious actor of the highest level.
He absolutely was. And that movie was just kind of evidence of it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got to finish things up because we got one last break, and I'll let you go, Richard. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention my movie that I seem to get
here
in almost every week, Schindler's List.
It was great.
It is a great movie.
Very well made.
It really is. It is one of those. If you've never seen it, you got to sit down and watch it, and you have to be in the right frame of mind, of course, but it is a fabulous movie. Richard, I'll let you go. Thanks again. We'll see you Monday. Let's do this. Barber's Foods is next, folks. And yes, there will be some meat shortages most likely coming. You cannot shut down the largest meat pack or one of the largest meat packing plants, plural, in the United States of America. They supply 30% of the meat to this country. You cannot shut them down because of a cyber attack and not have meat prices go up and have shortages as well. So be prepared. Go to Barber's Foods right now. Order what you want. Have it in stock. And be ahead of everybody else that's out there. Because trust me, folks, you're going to see some bare shelves, I'm predicting here, in the not-too-distant future. Barbersfoods.com.
It's time to get out the grill for some all-natural, mouth-watering meats raised right here at home from Barber's Foods. For over 70 years in Colorado, Barber's Foods has stayed true to their mission to provide their customers with only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free meats from family farms they know personally. So whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from and the families who raise the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse, located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center, or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado-sourced bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
A good shot, folks. If you find yourself banged up because of an accident, or you could just have some door dings and things you want to freshen up, you know you can't buy a new car right now because there aren't any. You're going to take your car and freshen it up. A good shop can do all of that for you, including an entire interior, exterior detail at the same time. Three locations to serve you. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
A good shop fights on your behalf to make sure you get the most out of your insurance claim. Chances are, your insurance adjuster has never fixed a car before. Your adjuster may not realize that your vehicle has hidden or secondary damage as a result of your collision. So your insurance claim may not cover those repairs, unless your auto body shop advocates for you. Al Sturm has a long history of working with insurance companies, both as a customer service representative helping people with their claims over the phone and as a collision repair specialist, communicating between his own customers and their adjusters. Al and his team at A Good Shop will advocate for you behind the scenes, fighting on your behalf to make sure your claim covers everything. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Nancy with Metron Technology said, "We have used Business Equipment Service for many years. They are always pleasant to work with and responsive to our infrequent requests for service. We highly recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush together with Andy Pate. Okay, rapid fire.
Yeah, roll some off.
Do you have some on?
No, go ahead. We got text messages, but go ahead.
Oh, there's so many.
A lot of these will probably be on there anyway, so go for it.
Tell me what you think. Notting Hill, romantic comedy, was terrific. Con Air, one of my faves. Got to see it multiple times every year. Scream.
Yes.
A hip slasher movie that was great. Driving Miss Daisy won Best Picture. It was phenomenal.
Forgot about it. All right.
Oh, Glory, Unforgiven.
Texture says Man in the Iron Mask, Rounders, and Wyatt Earp.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. Men in the Iron Mask, I can watch over and over again.
And that's one I've never seen.
And I don't know if you heard it, Glory, Unforgiven.
Unforgiven's great. It's on my list.
Goodfellas.
Yes.
Did you ever see Dead Man Walking with Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon?
I never did.
That looked at the issue of capital punishment from both sides. It was incredibly well done.
Somebody says Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Never saw that one either.
Here we go. Face Off.
Good movie.
Pure action. Just fun. How about this one? The Fugitive?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Apollo 13.
That was in the 90s, too?
I believe it was, yes. Wow. The Fugitive, by the way, Harrison Ford at that time was so red hot, he could say anything and it was going to make $100
million. True.
He was so good. Dark City, which you probably haven't seen.
Uh-uh.
It's an offbeat little movie, but really good with Rufus Sewell. The Nightmare Before Christmas, which was a very different little movie.
That was in the 90s?
It was.
Okay.
Chasing Amy, I doubt you've seen that.
No.
Brilliantly written, really well done. There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Kingpin. Superstar. A Night at the Roxbury. And, of course, Independence Day. I don't think we've said Independence Day, have we?
You did earlier.
Did I say that at the beginning?
Speaking of Harrison Ford, by the way, I forgot about this. He also did Clear and Present Danger in the 90s, Air Force One in the 90s, 6 Days, Get Off My Plane. Yeah, 6 Days and Seven Nights in the 90s.
I liked all of those. I think I like Clear and Present Danger the most.
Good movie. All right, guys, we'll come right back. Somebody's going to call in and talk about EVs. I've got other things we're going to talk about as well. Small business, some things along those lines. Don't go anywhere. Another full hour coming your way. And if it's close to 7 o'clock at night because you're listening to our replay hour, don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow morning. First thing, Fix It Radio at 9 a.m. But have a great weekend. Otherwise, hour three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.